This summer, we are going to be going through a book. We're going to go through the book of Proverbs. If you got your Bibles, go ahead and open them up to the book of Proverbs. It's the Old Testament. And we're going to start Proverbs chapter 1. If you don't have your own Bible, you can pull out one of these burgundy Bibles. Page 525 is Proverbs 1. And if you don't have one at home, or even if you just don't have the New Living Translation and would like a copy of what we read out of on Sundays, take it home with you. Okay, just take a copy home with you. We'll be glad for you to have that, and it's yours as a gift. Now, normally we take about 8 to 12 weeks to go through a book in the summer series, but this time we're going to take closer to about 4 to 5 months because there's so much in Proverbs, and we're going to kind of go subject by subject instead of verse by verse, because if you read the book of Proverbs, you'll notice it'll talk about things like relationships in chapter 1, chapter 4, chapter 7, chapter 19. So it kind of jumps around because Proverbs are a collection of wise sayings. Okay, now it's important to note that they're a little bit different. The very first verse in chapter 1 says that these are the Proverbs of Solomon. But what I want you to know is that they weren't all written by Solomon. He didn't make them all up himself. Okay, they're called the Proverbs of Solomon because he spoke them all and he helped accumulate them all together. But he didn't make them all up just by himself. So, for example, in chapter 22, these are called the sayings of the wise. Chapter 24 is more sayings of the wise. Chapter 30 is the words of Agur. And chapter 31, the wisdom of Lemuel. So you've got this collection of writings of wise teachings. And it's important to know, too, that this is called wisdom literature. So these are proverbs, and proverbs are wise sayings that someone has observed to be true in life. But they are not promises of God. Let me explain what I mean by that. When Jesus says, for example, in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world, he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life," that's a promise. That means that if you choose to believe in Christ as your Lord and Savior, that you are guaranteed eternal life. You're guaranteed a relationship with God. That's a promise. So you can hang on to that and know it is true. It will always happen 100% of the time. These, the teachings of wisdom, are wise teachings that have been observed in life, and they aren't instantly made true. Meaning it talks about how God rewards the hard worker. But many of us have been hard workers in here, and there have been seasons in our life that financially we struggled, right? But overall, the truth and the principle is, if you work hard, God honors that, blesses that with provisions. So these are principles, proverbs that are true, but they're not promises that you can just stand up and go, "Lord," because the one I find that people use most is Proverbs 22:6. New Living says, "Direct your children onto the right path, and when they are older, they will not leave it." The King James that I memorized was, "Train a child in the way of the Lord, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." And I've had so many people come to me and say, "Well, the Bible says in Proverbs 22 that if we train our children in the way of the Lord, they won't depart from it when they get older." And so I'm holding on to that promise. It's not a promise. And the reason I say that is because God gives all of us free will. And our children at the age of 18 are just as free to decide if they want Jesus or not. And at the age of 22 and at the age of 30. And I wish as a dad, here we are on Father's Day, I wish that my faith could be required for my children. But it's not. I'm required to live it out, but my children have to make decisions for themselves whether they're going to follow Jesus or not. And so as much as I love my kids and pour into them and model it for them, thankfully they still have free will. Because I don't know about you, but I'm grateful I have free will. And I was given that choice myself. So I just want to kind of give you that background before we launch into this study in Proverbs. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll leap into what we got. Lord, just want to humble ourselves this morning. Lord, it's powerful when we get to see baptisms, Lord. That it's so awesome to see that testimony of men, women, children deciding to follow you and letting the world know it. And I pray today, Lord, that you would just use that as the launching pad for all of us. draw each one of us closer to you this morning. Draw each one of us tighter into you this morning. Prick our hearts. Show up in a way that we realize you are the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And help us to learn from your wisdom and apply it to our lives. I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, if you have your Bibles, we're going to read from Proverbs chapter 1. We're going to start there. And here's what it says, Proverbs 1:1. These are the Proverbs of Solomon, David's son, king of Israel. Their purpose is to teach people wisdom and discipline, to help them understand the insights of the wise. Their purpose is to teach people to live disciplined and successful lives, to help them do what is right, just, and fair. Okay, so if you got your listening guide, pull that out. That's in the little bulletin that you got, the little program. And on there, there's three things I want to point out. The first one is God offers us wisdom to teach us how to live. God offers us wisdom to teach us how to live. How many of you have ever heard somebody say, I wish God would have given us an instruction booklet for life? Don't you wish that? It's like, okay, step one, cry really loud, you know? Step two, learn to eat. I mean, but wouldn't it be nice if we had an instruction booklet for life? We do. It's called the Bible. And I'll tell you that from Genesis to Revelation, there are some passages that are hard to understand that I'm still trying to figure out myself. But then there's also those that are really clear, and Proverbs are some of those passages. Proverbs are really clear, wise teachings that anybody can take and apply to their life and become wise. And so the first thing I want you to see here is in verse 2 is that the purpose is to teach people wisdom and discipline. Now we're going to look, when it comes to wisdom, we're going to look at areas in relationships that it'll talk about in here. We're going to talk about wisdom in finances. We're going to talk about wisdom in things of like borrowing and loaning money that the Bible talks about. We're going to talk about decision-making, how to make wise decisions. Now, when I talk to people, most people I find want to make wise decisions. They don't want to mess their lives up. But why is it then that we don't always make wise decisions? Well, part of the reason is we may not know the wise decision to make in a circumstance. Others of it, we may know the wise decision, we know what's the best decision, but we still go with what we want to do anyway. Now, I'm sure that doesn't happen to very many of you guys, but there's so many times in my life I'm like, I know it would be best if I didn't do that. I know that's not a good decision, but boy, that thing that I want to buy on that credit card sure is shiny right now. And you know what? I'm sure I could pay it off with just 47% interest in 68 years, you know? Yeah. If you ever do the math on those like credit card percentage rates, it will make you want to throw up, right? But we keep doing it anyway, right? As a country, even more so than ever, it seems, we are buying things that we want on credit instead of waiting till we have cash to buy. And that's just a small picture. So God's purpose in these is to teach wisdom. And the second part of that word is discipline. Now, I find that almost everybody I meet wants wisdom in their lives, but that discipline part is the hang-up, because the discipline part means you've got to make hard decisions to say no to some things that are good so that you can say yes to some things that are better. Does that make sense? Okay? You have to say no sometimes to things that they're not even sinful so that you can say yes to things that are more beneficial. Sometimes that's in the way that you work on the job. Sometimes you have to work hard at a job that you don't enjoy so that you can be noticed by others and then given the job that you will enjoy. Wisdom, it's all through here, okay? So that's verse 2, to teach people wisdom and discipline. Verse 3 says their purpose is to teach people to live disciplined and successful lives. Again, we all want success. I mean, you watch TV after 10 o'clock at night and they've got all the latest things, you know, how to flip-flop houses, how to save money on this, how to buy this program and think your way into wealth or whatever it is. Whatever the latest and fastest new get-rich-quick scheme is, man, they've got a show for it, don't they? But have you ever seen an infomercial where the guy got up and just said, all right, if you want to have a successful life, let's start by 12 hours a day of hard work and discipline. Let's start choosing to live on less money than we make. Let's start working hard and live in a smaller house than we can afford so we can put money aside. And let's start investing more in our friendships and relationships because of who they are instead of because of what they can give us. Have you ever seen an infomercial like that? That's because the wisdom of God on how to be successful is in contradiction to the wisdom of the world. God's view of success is not financial wealth with the biggest house, the nicest cars, and the biggest bling bling. God's idea of success is healthy, godly relationship with Him and with others and provisions that take care of you and your family. Okay? And so these wise teachings, some of them will cause you to do things that aren't in your best interest. Can I say that again? God's wise teachings sometimes cause you to do things that are not in your best interest. They're in the best interest of your children and your grandchildren. They're in the best interest of your husband or your wife. They're in the best interest of God Almighty in His testimony and His righteous character to be displayed at work. They might not be in the best interest of your job because you might get fired if you start dealing honestly in a position that you haven't always done so. And so these positions to teach us discipline and success. There's an easy way and a hard way to learn wisdom. The easy way is to learn from others and the Word of God. The easy way is to learn from those that have gone before us and have discovered things and learned things and to learn from them. That's the easy way. But then there's the hard way, and that's personal experience. DC Talk, a Christian music group, had a song that just goes over my head all the time. It says, some people have to learn the hard way. I guess I'm the type of guy that's just got to find out for himself. And so many times I know what the scripture says. I know the wisdom. I know what I need to do. But I just think on this one opportunity, I'll do it my way. And of course, it's usually a train wreck by the end of the day. God's wisdom is perfect. And if we will learn from what we're about to read, we can become wise. Second point here is that wisdom works for all, simple and wise. Wisdom works for everybody, whether you're simple or wise. Let's read 4-6. It says, these proverbs will give insight to the simple, knowledge and discernment to the young. Let the wise listen to these proverbs and become wiser. Let those with understanding receive guidance by exploring the meaning in these proverbs and parables, the words of the wise and their riddles. So he essentially says here that wisdom is for the simple and the wise. Now, when I think of simple, I think of simple in the sense that uneducated. One of the favorite Facebook posts that somebody sent to me was the one of the guy who's given, I think it's a graduation speech, and he's talking about the wisest man he ever met, and it was his father who only had a third grade education. But he was so wise in the way he lived everyday life. And so let me say, wisdom does not mean highly educated, although I think education is great. Wisdom means you study what is true in the world and in the Word of God, and you live it out, and you live in such a way that your life is an example to those around you. Wisdom is for the simple. If you are here today and you go, you know what? I didn't get the opportunities that everybody else got. I didn't grow up in a family that believed in getting a better education. I didn't grow up in a family that wanted me to become better. If that's your story, let me tell you, you can start today. You can start today to begin living and following the teachings in the Bible in such a way that you will become a wise person, even if you weren't given that opportunity growing up. You can start today. And then he goes on and he says, knowledge and discernment to the young. Young people, let me talk to you for just a minute. Kids, teenagers, college students, young adults, you can be wise now. You don't have to wait till you get the gray hair. You can be wise today by beginning to apply these scriptures to your life. I remember I was called to be a youth pastor when I was 22 years old. I was fresh out of college, maybe I was 21, fresh out of college, and I was a passionate young Christian, got a job at a church to be the youth pastor, and I started having the weirdest thing happen to me. I started having parents come to me asking me for advice on how to raise their kids. They'd come and say, "Steve, we don't know what to do. Our kids don't want to go to church. They don't care about school. And what should we do as a parent?" And I was thinking, "I don't know. I don't have any kids. I'm 21 years old. I don't have kids of my own. I've never been a parent. I don't know." And I went to the Lord because I was like, they were coming to me for answers. And as best I understood what the Lord was showing me, he just said, "Steve, give them my word. You don't have to be wise. I've already given you wisdom. And as you share that wisdom, you become wise." And so I would just go, "So what is the struggle?" "Oh, okay. Living in rebellion." "Well, let's see what the Bible says. Let's read what the Bible says about rebellion in his heart." "And okay, after reading that, well, what do you think that means?" Yeah, "Well, how do you think God would want you to handle that situation then?" "Okay, yeah. Well, that's what you should do." And they'd be like, "Oh, you're so wise." I'm like, "Yeah, it's okay, I got you." You know, I mean, I'm just repeating the word of God. He's like, "Here's what it says," you know. And I would have people literally say to me, "Man, you just seem so wise for 21. I'm going, "I'm just repeating the Bible," you know. That's where the wisdom comes from. And now we've got it so easy, don't we? We've got Google. I mean, I can take my smartphone and I go, "Where's the Bible verse that talks about parents disciplining their children? Let me give you some results." And it'll pull up like 15 Bible verses. And I'm like, that is awesome. It's like now I can seem like a really intelligent pastor. "Oh, you got a question about borrowing and lending. Give me a second. Google, where's the Bible say borrowing and lending?" You know? And it's right there on the Bible. And I'm like, man, it's never been as convenient to be a Christian as it is now. The Bible is right there on your smartphone by voice. So here's the question, though. Are you listening to that voice or are you listening to the voice of the world? Because both voices are calling. And the voice of the world is loud. And it's a whole lot easier when people say, "Well, what do you think about this going on in America?" to pull up your Facebook and find the four most angry people who are voicing their opinions about it and just spit out what they just said. It's a whole lot easier to do that than it is to go to the Word of God and go, "Let me see what the Bible says about this." But I'll tell you the one that'll make the difference. It's the wisdom of the Lord. It's God's wisdom and applying that wisdom to your life and to your circumstance. Well, so wisdom works for the young. Wisdom works for the simple. And the third one says, let the wise listen to these proverbs and become even wiser. You know, I find that the longer I'm a Christian, the more I think I know the Bible. And yet the rustier I can become if I don't stay in the Bible. Does that make sense? Just because you've read the book of Proverbs once doesn't mean you know the Proverbs. It just means you read it once. Has anybody ever remembered what they read in ninth grade literature? I mean, really? I mean, how about what you read in the newspaper 3 years ago? It kind of we kind of lose things, don't we? And that's why we've got to be in the Word each day. We got to spend the time in the Bible reading and seeking the face of God and getting these proverbs of wisdom in our hearts and our minds daily. You know, Jeremy's going to tell you about the app that we have that we're doing a study on Proverbs for the next month. And I hope you'll go through that with us to really dig in deeper. Matter of fact, for me, I'm going through Proverbs. I'm trying to dig in deep. And yesterday, Proverbs 20:24 jumped out to me. I'm sure I've read it 100 times, but it just leapt off the page. It says, "The Lord directs our steps, so why try to understand everything along the way?" And I thought, why do I try to understand everything? Why do I think I've got to know everything to trust God? I don't understand how H2O works. Anybody understand how water works? How does the H stick to the O? I mean, you ever just stop to wonder? I mean, we've all got to have water to live. It's the most abundant liquid source in the world. Hello, did God have a plan? You know? But how does the H stick to the O and become H2O? I don't know. But I don't have to know everything. That's why God's God and I'm not. There are some things I just go, okay, God, I'm leaning into you, I'm trusting in you, and I'm believing in you. And I don't have to know all the answers. But I don't ever want to become a comfortable Christian and think I've got this level of wisdom that's enough. I don't think there's ever a level that you can just stop at. I think God wants us always to be seeking, growing, and hungry for more wisdom day in and day out. And then that allows us to be like a conduit of his word to others. As it's coming in, we share it out with others, and it changes lives. Well, the fourth group, he says, let those with understanding receive guidance by exploring the meaning in these proverbs and parables, the words of the wise and their riddles. Those with understanding receive guidance. Have you ever wondered why there are Christians that their lives are in total chaos and they seem to always struggle with finances and relationships and holding down a job? And then there are non-Christians that seem to have their finances and relationships and jobs intact and have less chaos in their life than the Christians. I've wrestled with that. I mean, as a pastor, it has disturbed me through the years that there are people that I know that have given their hearts genuinely to Christ, but their lives are still in such chaos and disorder. And then I've got unchurched friends that don't know Christ, but they've got some things in place that are working for them. And I scratch my head and I'm like, God, why is that? Good example, when we were out in California, had a guy that came to live with us. Because he'd just come off the mission field, he told us, which he had. He'd served in another country, in a third world country, and served the impoverished, and he'd gotten back to the States, and he said, hey, I got back, and my job wasn't there for me, so I'm struggling. I need a place to live, and I was a pastor of the church. I was like, you know what? We'll help you out. So my wife and I brought him into the home and genuinely thought that his struggle was he couldn't find a job. We quickly realized it wasn't because he couldn't find one, it's because he didn't want one. Because he'd have to wake up before noon. And that he just didn't like that. And as time went on, we realized that although he was a Christian and did have a relationship with God, he wasn't applying the wisdom of Scripture to his life, and he didn't know what the words hard work meant. Matter of fact, the words work was pretty foreign to him. And so eventually we realized the longer he was staying with us, the more we were enabling him. And the more we were allowing him to live a life that was not honoring of God or even of himself. And the more we finally said, listen, there's a verse in the Bible that you claim to follow. It says, he who does not work does not eat. I believe that's just as important as the ones in there about God's love. And so we've got to make some changes. And we tried to help him through those changes, but he didn't want to hear from us. He didn't want to receive from us. And sadly, we departed in a bit of a difficult situation. We weren't ugly, but we finally had to say, listen, we're going to have to ask you to leave. We gave you 6 months to get a job and to get on your feet, and you haven't saved anything. You haven't even gotten a job. And so I was struggling with this question, and I think I've got an idea here. I think the Lord showed me something here, and that is there's really four realms in which we can get wisdom. Okay? Two of them are spiritual, the Bible and the Holy Spirit. I'll talk about the Holy Spirit last. We're talking about the Bible now and the wisdom that comes from the words in Scripture. But then two of them are not necessarily spiritual. They are wise counselors. The Bible says there's wisdom in a multitude of counselors. And, you know, if you're wanting to figure out finances, there's some great wisdom out there. Dave Ramsey's really popular right now, has great wisdom. It's based on Scripture. But I know a ton of people that aren't believers that still follow his principles because they work, right? And there's wise counsel. And then there's learning from your mistakes, right? I'm going to put life experiences. If we learn from life experiences. Now, my parents, when I was growing up, they were not believers. But they encouraged me to seek out wise counselors. They encouraged me to learn from life's experiences. And they wouldn't say it back then, but the truth is they followed a lot of what was in the Bible, a lot of principles. My dad taught me from young age, if you don't have cash, you don't buy it except for a house. The Bible says the borrower is a slave to the lender. He didn't recite that verse when he taught me that, but it was the same principle. In the same way, you can go to a schoolroom and it'll have the golden rule up there, right? Love your neighbor as yourself. Treat others as you want to be treated, however they want to phrase it. That's all the words of Jesus, but we can't give him credit because then we can't put it up in our schoolroom. So we call it the golden rule. But I know people that are non-believers, and my parents were some of those that they said, listen, this is how you treat other people. You treat them the way you want to be treated. So therefore, don't cheat them in a business deal because you don't want to get cheated in a business deal. Don't lie when you're being asked to tell what happened because you don't want other people to lie to you. So even though my parents weren't believers growing up, they still lived out a lot of what was in the Bible. And so I would say to you that in my family growing up, I would even give them more like this. They probably had this much wisdom, if that makes sense. They were drawing from wise counselors, life experiences, and truths in the Bible that they wouldn't have said were from the Bible, but they were, okay? Whereas some believers in Christ, they get saved, they believe the part of the Bible about Jesus came to forgive sins, and they have the Holy Spirit, but they don't have a whole lot because they keep pushing him out because they don't listen to him when he speaks to them. And so sadly, for many believers, they're just living with this much wisdom in their life. Does that make sense? And the sad part is this, the Bible says that the wisdom of God is for the simple, the young, for the wise, for the understanding. And so all of this wisdom is available for everybody in this room. All that wisdom is available for all of us. How to raise our kids, how to spend our money, how to have healthy interpersonal relationships, how to hold a job down, how to work hard at the job. That's all in Scripture. And wise counselors, the Bible tells us to go to wise counselors, people that have done it well. One of the things I've done is I've gone to people that have been married a lot longer than me and said, how do you do this? How do you do this? How do you make this work? Because when it says about, when I read this and it says to let those with understanding receive guidance, I thought, man, so many people want to get to heaven. They're like, I just want to ask God, how did you create the world in 6 days? I don't understand. I just want to go, God, how do you understand women? Because I can't figure it out. You know, I told my wife that last night. I was going over my sermon with her. She's like, well, I'll tell you how to understand me more, honey. I said, how's that? She goes, you need to study a little harder. I was like, you are so right, baby. You are so right. And so all this wisdom is available for all of us. Will we be disciplined enough to read it, to study it, and to live it? And then that last one is the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit is only available to those who have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Let's read that last verse there in Proverbs. Proverbs 7, chapter 1, verse 7 says, fear of the Lord is the foundation of true knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. So the third point is that perfect wisdom all starts with the fear of the Lord. Now, we don't like that phrase anymore, fear of the Lord. We want to say love of the Lord, but it says fear of the Lord, not love of the Lord. There needs to be a healthy fear with God, understanding he's the creator of the universe. As I used to have it heard it said in my family, I brought you into this world. I could take you out of this world. And God is the creator of the universe. He created it, and at any given time, he can intervene and take us out of the world. We have to have a healthy understanding that he is God and we are not. That he created us, he loved us, and he gives us standards. He gives us teachings to live by. And young people, and single adults, I just want to tell you, one of the biggest things he's taught us that we're throwing out the window is just teaching us to practice divorce over and over again. And that is having sex before you're married. We're just putting the cart before the horse all over the place. Not just in teenagers, but in college students and young adults and middle-aged people. And the idea is that, well, you know what? We love each other, so therefore we're going to commit, but we don't commit in marriage. And what happens is then you break up, and then it makes it a little easier the next time to be intimate and then break up and then be intimate and break up. And then eventually the intimacy isn't even that big of an important part of the relationship. And God intended it for you and your the one that you love just to have each other, only to spend time with each other. And we want to throw that out as being old-fashioned, and it's not. It's biblical. And so many of our folks are being heartbroken because they're wanting to live the life that's easier instead of the life that's a little bit more hard with the commitment of marriage. And so I just ask the question, do we live with the fear of the Lord to really believe that what his teachings are wise and true and that we need to follow them? I was talking to somebody just this week, another pastor, and talking about it. He had seen a sermon where a pastor was recommending something that was horrible, in my opinion, and it was unbiblical, and we were talking about that. And I said, does that pastor not have a fear of the Lord? Do they not understand that one day, myself as a pastor, I will stand before the Lord and give an account of what I preached? So for me, I just want to give you the Bible because I'm like, I don't need to give you my opinion because I'm going to be accountable before God. And I would say to you today that wisdom starts with the fear of the Lord, believing that this book is true, that God's word is true, and that he has a message for each one of us, and that if we follow his ways, that is the best way. Well, when we have a fear of the Lord, when we give our life to Jesus Christ and make God first place, the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of us. And this is the ace in the hole. This is the wisdom that the world cannot understand, because that is the voice of God whispering things into your mind when you're praying and asking God for help. Let me give you an example. We went on this trip out west, right? And I prayed, and my first thought was, Lord, we're going to go out there and do this mission trip in Oregon, and we're excited about it. And then we started talking about it. It's like, well, if we do that, we've always wanted to go out west. What if we drive out there and see all the west, and then drive back and see it all on the way back? And we were excited about it, but we realized we couldn't make the time work. So we said, okay, what if we drive out there and fly back? And I said, well, if we do that, I've got to get an RV or something big enough, because it was going to be myself, my wife, our four youngest kids, and my mother-in-law. So we need a 7-passenger. We've got a Traverse, but there's no room in there for luggage or anything. So I said, we'll have to do something like an RV or something. Started looking at the price of RVs. I was like, bad idea. Started looking at the price of renting an RV. We said, worse idea. And I said, well, what about a big old conversion van? And started looking at the price of those and thought, oh, I don't know. And then started praying. I was like, Lord, you're going to have to provide this thing. I looked at those things left and right, trying to find one that I thought was dependable and would make it to Oregon, and settled in on a 20-year-old 1998 Ford van with 160,000 miles on it. And we lifted a lot of prayers. We got in that thing. It drove perfect for 3,600 miles. Matter of fact, Thursday morning of the second weekend, we even stopped that morning for our devotional, and we prayed and said, Lord, thank you for this awesome van you've given us. It's done so well. About halfway through the day, that day, we're driving up in Sequoia National Forest, 5 miles past the visitor center. We're on this little windy road going up the side of a mountain, and we're coming around the corner, and everything just shut down. No power steering, no power brakes, no nothing. And I said, we just lost it. Hang on. And we edged it over to the side and turned the hazards on. We're blocking traffic. People start coming through. And I'd love to tell you that they're all wanting to ask questions on how they can help. But many of them were wondering why I chose to let my van break down in their way, you know? And so finally this young man, his name was Hunter, still remember his name, he pulled over and said, hey, can I help you in any way? I said, man, if you could just tow me out of the road, that would be a great start. He's like, I can do it. So I had a tow strap because wisdom had taught me, after not having stuff in the back of my car, that if you're going to drive an old clunker, you better have a toolbox. And so I had a tow strap. We strapped it on there. He pulled me out of the road. And I'd already asked a couple of people going the other way to stop at the ranger station and tell them I was broke down. So just as he pulled me out, he was about ready. He saw the ranger come. He said, hey, you got a ranger coming to help you. I'll go ahead and take off. He takes off. Ranger pulls up. I'm like, okay, thank you, Lord, for answering our prayers. And he gets out of the car. He said, what's wrong? I said, my car broke down. I said, can you call me a tow truck? So he said, well, he said, if you were blocking traffic, I could call you a tow truck. He said, but you're not blocking traffic, so by law, I can't call you a tow truck. I said, well, we don't have any phone reception out here. How am I supposed to get a tow truck? I said, can I borrow your phone? He said, well, we're not allowed to let civilians use our phones. I said, so how can I get word out? He said, well, I can take you back to the ranger station. And he said, you can call from there. And he said, your phone, if you have AT&T, may work there. My wife's mom had AT&T. I said, okay. So she and I went. Well, apparently they also have protocol that, you know, a man with his mother-in-law, his wife, and four kids could be a mass murderer. So they had to put my hands behind my back, had to frisk me, and then put me in the back of the car. They did let me free my hands to get in the back of the car. And so they're driving us back to the ranger station. And I'm just praying. I was like, God, what are we going to do? How are we going to get seven people in a van that was loaded to the hilt and has the old family backpack on the top of the van? How are we going to get all those people? And by the way, we still had 300 miles to go to our next place we're going to stay. And the van's not running. And then we got to get to this mission trip. And I was like, oh, Lord, did I not hear you right on this van? Was that a bad deal? And I start praying. So we get the tow truck starts coming up. The tow truck driver picks me up. I was praying, Lord, I need a generous tow truck driver. I need one that's kind and gentle. And so he comes to pick me up. And I'm like, and Lord, I got to get somebody to bring my wife and kids back to the visitor center. And I was getting desperate. I mean, I called. They didn't have any taxi service. We're in the middle of nowhere. No taxi services. I mean, it's 5:00. The visitor center's closed down. And I'm like, Lord, I need a miracle. I'm praying, Lord, I need an angel. I just need you to send me an angel that will go get my family and bring them back. Amen. I looked up. There's a college student driving a car. I said, he'll do. I don't know if he's got wings, but Lord, he's got a car. I'll take it. And I just stopped him. I walked up to him and said, sir, my wife and kids are broke down 5 miles up. If I pay you some money, will you go get them? He's like, sure, I'll be glad to help you. So Cooper, he was an angel to us. He drove back and forth several times to help us out. And that was a miracle from God. And again, the Holy Spirit, as I'm praying, I'm trying to listen. And I literally, as I said amen, I looked up. I just felt like Spirit said, pick him. And I did. And he was such a great help. And then we go to get the vehicle. And I'm just saying, Lord, I pray this tow truck driver be a nice guy. Because we got to get all our luggage out of the van to the campground. Because the Lord had already provided a campground for us. And so this guy was really nice. And I said, well, where can we take the car to get it worked on? He said, well, really 65 miles is the nearest garage that does repairs. I was like, 65 miles? I said, how do I get back from my campground 65 miles? He said, I don't know. And I was just like, Lord, I don't think that's right. I mean, I just did not have a peace about saying yes. And I said, is there anybody in this town? It's like a town of, I don't know, a couple hundred maybe. Is there anybody in this town? He said, well, there is one gas station, and there's a guy that works out of that gas station. He's usually a week or two behind. He said, but maybe he can help. I said, okay, I'll do that. I just feel like the Lord said, go for it. So we dropped the van off. That night, I go to the campground, And I'm praying like, Lord, we need you to show up. We need a sign. We need help. We're going to lose our whole mission trip if something doesn't happen. I mean, I'm thinking this could be a 7-day wait, you know? And so I go up and it's casino night at the campground. They're all playing poker, having a big time. And I'm just looking for a place to get a phone signal, you know? And so I go up to the guy's like, hey, do you have a place to get a phone signal? He's like, I usually stand up there on the hill. He said, you're that guy that broke down, aren't you? I said, yeah, that's me. He said, well, what's the story? And I told him, I said, I think it's a fuel pump. It all shut down, and I think the fuel pump's going out. And this guy two seats over from him said, I had an old Ford F-150. It did that to me one time, and it was just the fuse. I mean, it was like the Holy Spirit leapt in. I was like, the fuse. I didn't think of the fuse. Maybe it's the fuse. I said, you know what? I'll go check that out. And I'm not saying God told me, Steve, check the fuse, okay? I did not have that experience. There was no burning tire or bush or anything on fire. And God was speaking out of the bush saying, check the fuse. But as best I understand, I believe God had that guy sitting at casino night at the campground so that he could tell me about his experience. And I had to be wise enough to listen to him when he said that. And I said, okay, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll walk down there tomorrow morning and go check it out. And the guy two steps, seats over from him says, how are you going to get down there? I said, well, I guess I'll walk. He said, well, it's about 3 miles. I said, I know, but I don't have a vehicle. He said, I'll tell you what. He said, I don't have to get up early tomorrow. My keys are in my truck. You can just take my truck tomorrow. I said, what's your name? He said, my name's Dave. I was like, okay, Dave, I'll take your truck in the morning. I'm like, oh, Lord, I don't know about this, but I'm in. Next morning, I got up, got in Dave's truck. I started driving down the road, and it hit me about a mile down the road. I was like, what if there's 100 pounds of marijuana in the back of this thing? I literally started thinking, what if I got pulled over and this guy's got a dead body back here? And I'm thinking, Lord, was that you? Was that the Holy Spirit, or was that just my desperation? And as best I understood it, I really believed it was the Lord. I kept going. I got to the van, switched the fuses, fired right up. That was the problem. And just go God. But why do I tell you that story? One, it's funny. It's just funny. But honestly, as I prayed, the Holy Spirit would nudge me. And as I listened to that little nudge and obeyed, God would do something. He would show up. And it was for my kids. I believe that whole thing was for my children because they got to see God at work in the midst of crisis. They got to see us praying and asking God to show up. And I got to point out to them over and over again, the people at the campsite, they were really nice to us. And the tow truck driver, he didn't have to help us like he did. And this college student. And I got to point out how God answered prayer after prayer after prayer after prayer in this crisis. And now they're going to have wisdom from life experiences. Don't buy a Ford. And sorry, that was a cheap shot. All right. They're going to have life experiences, and hopefully they'll learn how to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. And what I'd say to you today is that perfect wisdom all starts with the fear of the Lord. That relationship with God Almighty, who knows the past, the present, and the future. He knows all the sins you've ever committed, and He loves you anyway. He knows all the times He's tried to speak to you and you rejected Him, and He wants to speak to you anyway. And so I want to ask you today, what stands between you and a relationship with God? Is it pride? Is it doubt? You won't ever understand everything. But I believe that God is real and He wants to speak to you and have a relationship with you. If you would bow your head with me, let's ask God to speak to us this morning. And to show us. If God's speaking to you right now, if He's touching your heart saying, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to trust Him with wisdom. To quit trying to do your life on your own and submit to the wisdom of God. Then the first step is praying and giving your life to Jesus Christ and making Him first place in your life. If God's speaking to your heart now, then I want to invite you to pray this prayer to the Lord and to yourself following after me. Dear God, today I give you my life. Today I surrender all to you. I confess Jesus Christ as my Savior and Lord. Please forgive me for my past. Today I want to be adopted by you. In Jesus' name, amen.